shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good afternoon, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here in the fantastic studios of Atlanta Business Radio X. By the way, if you've never been down to the studios at Atlanta Business Radio X, you have to check this out. They probably run 20, 30 different shows down here, all sorts of amazing stuff, health and wealth and everything in between. But we're talking about the Shrimp Tank today, and we interview some of the brightest and best CEOs in the city of Atlanta and across the state of Georgia. And in the Shrimp Tank, we're not only bringing you these entrepreneurs, we're also bringing the kids of tomorrow with the ideas and businesses they have, and we can teach them the do's and don'ts about running, growing, and starting a successful business. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, and of course, we've got our director of everything, Lee Heisman, in the background. Takes care of all the stuff. We've got great guests today. We've got Matthew Stamper. We're going to talk about a gap year in just a moment, who will be on here today. And of course, our featured guest is Ted Kolwitz, who's the president of CopierNet. I'm telling you, you need a copier. This is the guy to talk to. Chris, what is going on this afternoon?
What is not going on, Ted? That's the entrepreneurial question, right?
Well, let me just tell you, in the spirit of entrepreneurship, I think to start this show, you have to talk about the entrepreneurs of entrepreneurs here in the city of Atlanta, Mr. Arthur Blank. And he announced, literally, which I thought was amazing, this deal about putting fans first in this new dome that's going up at $1.4 billion. We won't say what the price tag is. And he talked about putting the cheapest food on the block for people that come down to the new Nest or the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Did you hear about that?
I did not hear about that.
Did either of you guys hear about that, Matthew or Ted? Did you hear about
it? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
So here's what the deal is. The deal is simply this. He said, as an entrepreneur, you know what? It's going to cost a lot of money to come to the stadium anyway. And everywhere in America, they're saying that sports are not affordable for families. If you want to take a family of four to the Braves or you want to take them to the Falcons or something like that, it's just not affordable. It isn't just the tickets. It's the cost by the time your kids go in, they get a meal, you get a drink, you get a beer. It's super expensive. So here's what he did. He said, put fans first, and we're going to do the following. We're going to make beers $5. We're going to make things like hot dog and peanuts and pretzels and things like that in the $2 to $3 range.
Wow.
So everything would be affordable. Now, what do you think about that? But by the way, this will be the cheapest food of all major sports teams in the United States will be right here in Atlanta.
Wow.
What do you guys think about that for a pretty bold move as an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Good place to go and get something to eat.
Yeah. No, I mean,
nachos, waffle fries.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And you're probably still making healthy margins on that. So
I'm sure.
I mean, it appeals to the consumers and you know, draws people in and it makes your people feel good about supporting your team.
Yeah. And they've got free refill stations throughout the entire stadium. In fact, I think I read somewhere that there's 60 more refill stations in this stadium than there was in the dome right now.
Wow.
That's how many more.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Pretty
amazing.
That's
very cool.
Stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah. And Arthur Blank actually gave us a letter of support to be the only entrepreneurship major. So I am very appreciative to him for having a letter of support saying why Georgia needs an entrepreneurship major.
Yeah, I don't know about
the
$45,000 PSL steeds, but you know, to make up for it, I think it's pretty awesome that kind of food. So, you know, these are the things when you talk about entrepreneurs leading from the front, look at somebody like Arthur Blank and doing this, pretty amazing stuff because he's literally going to lead more sports teams, I'll bet you, that they follow in suit to lower some of their food prices to make it more affordable for families across America.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that boldness of action that entrepreneurs have to take, right? Sometimes we have to just be bold and do things that other people aren't.
So we recently finished the KSU 100 here, and we had announced the winner. So I really want to know, you know how they like the Shark Tank on TV, and they do like the Shark Tank aftermath and what happened down the road, and they show the one business that did well and the 94 that failed. So what is next for these gentlemen that got $100,000, where it's $5,000 of cash and $95,000 of services? What's the next steps for them?
So next steps, so Garrett Jacobs, who's been on the show and who was mentored by Mr. Lee Heisman, he and I were at the Gathering of Angels last week. So he got to see people pitch. He's going to get his shot to pitch in front of that investment group coming up at their next meeting. And we are in the process of working with him and lining up the services that he needs as far as the legal, the accounting, the technology, and the equity for him to continue his business. So, yeah, the journey continues, and hopefully you will be hearing and seeing great things out of him.
Look, one of the reasons we do this show is that KSU is leading the state of Georgia right now. Chris Hanks is the founder and executive director of the KSU, well, I guess now the Shore Center of Entrepreneurship, right? Is it renamed already?
Not officially, but yeah, it's going to be the Shore Entrepreneurship Center, thanks to Mr. Doug Shore, who made his money in the publishing business.
That's so, very, very cool. Absolutely. But there's great stuff going on there, because it's going to be the first school, I think, really here in the state of Georgia, right, that's going to offer an opportunity to get a degree in entrepreneurship when you graduate.
Yep. You'll be the only entrepreneurship major. And not only that, but, you know, it's where we provide experiences for students to transform into better versions of themselves. So it's incredibly experiential. It's, you know, you can't Scantron bubble your way to successful entrepreneurship.
I love that, right? You can't just put a pencil and mark C for every answer and hope that you pass.
Yeah, and memorize.
In fact, are there any even tests in the program? Do you actually take tests, or is it all experiential?
All experiential, at least my courses. Now, I can't necessarily hold that line for the other professors that are teaching the curriculum and that kind of thing. But as far as the courses that I lead, there is absolutely no tests.
Well, it's pretty amazing stuff. And we're gonna get to talk a little bit more about the program. But if you've ever seen Chris teach a class, and he would actually let you in one of them, it's pretty amazing stuff. These kids are energized. They're discussing entrepreneurial ideas. And by the way, if nobody remembered here, it's not these Fortune 500 companies that are creating the jobs in America. And I get that both the people in the election now are talking about creating jobs for America. You know who's going to create them? The guys we're talking today, like Ted Kollwitz, the guys that are willing to invest their own money in the people, expand their businesses, buy more businesses, and create those jobs. It most certainly won't be the Fortune 500 companies. Small businesses have always created the jobs that happen here in America.
Absolutely.
So we are so excited to see what's happening at Kennesaw State. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X Studios right here in Sandy Springs. Have to check them out sometime. Great place to have a show. We're delighted to be able to host it here. Today, we're bringing on our guest and a friend of ours, Ted Kollwitz, who's the president of CopierNet. That's CopierNet with a K.
That's right.
Although when you hear more about the business, it's still copiers. We'll be talking about that. And I'm curious, Ted, just to start this thing, and we do want to get into hearing about your business, but I've been reading these articles, and we're joined all here with Matthew Stamper. We're going to talk about what it's like to take a gap year and start a business. We're going to talk about that as well. But I'm curious, I read these articles all the time, Ted, where people say, here are 63 businesses you can start for less than $10,000. So is it fact or fiction that you can really legitimately start a business for less than $10,000?
It's possible. I mean, depends on what the business is, I guess. Is it a food franchise, or is a business equipment company like mine? I know I spent a lot more than that when I started my business back in 2000. But if you just want to go out there and wing it, I mean, yeah, you probably could do that.
And so tell us just a little bit to start this thing. You know, a lot of people think they know the copier business. You know, it's that guy's just going to go up and try and, you know, sell you a copier, and that's what it's about. But it seems like the business has become so much more complicated today, with copiers becoming more complicated. How did you even get into the copier business?
By mistake. I was a graduate of a school in Florida, and I majored in criminology. So I figured that's a good prelude to being a salesperson.
My daughter's majoring in criminology. Does that mean she's going to end up selling copiers?
Could be. I'd interview her if she's you know, aggressive in the business. I hope not. But I was waiting to be assigned to a position with the Tampa Police Force in Florida, and I took what I thought was a part-time job with a company called Lanier in Florida, just because I knew I could speak in front of a crowd or make a cold call without any hesitation. And after about 6 months of doing that and realizing that I make a heck of a lot more money selling copiers than being shot at, I chose to stay in that profession. And 40 years later, I'm still doing it.
Wow.
So a copier, at least from my perspective, right, I can't really tell the difference between one copier and another. It tends to be commoditized in my mind. So how in the world could you differentiate in a business like that?
You mean from a product standpoint?
Yeah, from a customer standpoint. Like for me to sense the difference, like why would I choose you as opposed to some other when in my mind it's a commodity?
You're right about that, Chris. As I said before, a copier is a copier. The difference is the company that stands behind the product. Are they going to support it when the machine's down? Are they going to be able to service it in a timely manner? Is it going to be reliable enough that your business is not going to stop because your copier is not working? So I guess it comes down to believing in the product and the person who's selling it to you that counts the most.
So how do you become believable in that process? Because you're trying to sell me a copier. So what do you do that stands out in the customer's mind?
Well, first I give a signed agreement to everyone who buys a copier from me called a performance promise signed by me, which says that for any reason, whether it's the president of the company or the receptionist has a problem with the copier and it doesn't perform to their satisfaction, we'll replace it with no questions asked.
Are you selling it to businesses or directly to the consumers?
Businesses.
Okay.
But if a consumer now, so many consumers have home offices in their place of residence, sell a lot more than you realize.
Right. You know, Ted, I think what's interesting, and I've known you for a long time now, is that, you know, there was a movie that came out at one time called Groundhog Day, and there was a classic character in there. His name was Ned Ryerson. He was an insurance salesman. And it seems like insurance salesmen and copier salesmen seem to get put in that same bucket. Sometimes when you turn the corner one way, people start to run the other way.
And used car salesmen.
And used car salesmen.
Don't forget them. Yes.
But so when you get into a business like this and you start selling, you know, what really gave you, you know, what gives you the conviction when you get in front of people, when you know that people already have this preconceived notion like, oh, here comes the copier guy, sales guy?
Well, you got to have a hard shell, first of all, or tough skin, a lot of residual feelings that you're not going to take anything they say to you personally. As far as what's different about me and someone else is that, you know, I've, as an owner, I believe in everything I sell and I don't, ever not offer something that I can't stand behind, whether it's the product, the service, the relationship. You know, I have probably 1,200 accounts, and I dare say that those 1,200 accounts, I retain probably 90-95% of them when they re-up on leases or it's time to get another machine, depending on how long they keep it. But all of that is not possible without a great service team. And if you don't have a good service team to back what you're selling, then you're never going to get that business again.
How did you go about finding that team? Like what was the process that you went about to say, like, these are the right people to do it? Like, what kind of qualities?
Well, I guess interviewing them, right. Doing this so long, I know what I'm looking for in a good service personnel. Someone who's not only knows their product line, but someone who can troubleshoot a problem. Because I don't want someone, what I call a parts jockey, who just throws parts at a machine until the customer gets frustrated and says, get it out of here. Right. I want someone who can use their logical brain and troubleshoot it and fix it.
Right.
That's probably what I look for the most.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X, coming to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. We've got about 30 shows up there now. So if you want to hear from the brightest and best CEOs in the state of Georgia, you really ought to take a look at it. You want to buy a book on entrepreneurship? Skip it. You want to learn more about how to do that? Go right to the website and watch the post-show recaps. And all you need to do is sit there for an afternoon. Don't Netflix it and binge on watching Breaking Bad. Sit and watch some of the things on The Shrimp Tank, and you'll learn stuff that will make a huge difference. I'm sitting here every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director of now soon to be the Shore Center of Entrepreneurship at KSU. going to be exciting stuff going down there with helping kids becoming entrepreneurs and growing their businesses. We've got Matthew Stamper with us today, and we want to talk probably in our next segment a little bit more about what it means to take a gap year. I thought Malia Obama was the only one doing it, but apparently not at this point. There are other people. And we're sitting here with our guest, Ted Kowitz, who is the president of CopierNet. And Ted, a couple more questions we want to ask you about our business before we take a break from our sponsors. I guess, you know, when you get into a business like yours, how do you build the culture? So you get these service people, they're back there. You know, how do you build the culture sustain getting people that want to stay with a copier company?
Well, I try to make the job enjoyable because I know as a service technician, that's not the most enjoyable situation they walk into when a customer, when the machine's not working, they walk in, they're getting screamed at as soon as they walk in the door because they want that machine up and running. So we do things as a company where we have parties at least once a year. We have a summer party. We have a huge Christmas party. Try and offer them a good benefits package to keep them long-term. I just invested some money for a cybersecurity.
Oh, no kidding.
At no cost to them. So they have some protection for any type of fraud, bank or credit card fraud. And I company paid for that out of our own pocket. It extends to them and their entire family.
Wow.
Little things like that that try and make that usually make a difference.
So you've been in this business for a while and scaled a pretty significant copier business from just kind of starting as a solo entrepreneur. What's the thing that you wished you knew when you started that you know now?
Oh, gosh. Well, I married
a smart wife?
I did that already, yeah. She works in the office as well and is a very integral part of the business and probably one of the other reasons why people stay working for us. I don't know. I've been doing it so long. It wasn't that I just started it without knowing about the business because I've been doing it for 20 years prior. I wish I'd done it even earlier because I've probably been retired by now, but, I don't know if I would retire anyways because I just never feel like I'm ever working. I enjoy the job so much that I don't feel like I've ever worked the last 40 years because I just enjoy every day.
Well, and that surprised me too when I learned that you actually, as the owner of a very large business, you still like making cold calls.
Love it.
So what advice do you have to somebody who is terrified of making that cold call?
Don't get into business. And you stay behind your computer and email and let someone else go out and make cold calls for you. I mean, I'm not getting off on a tangent, but I think it's so hard to find entry-level people like Matthew that don't hesitate to go out face-to-face with a customer. They'd rather do it by email and
yeah, I mean,
and
that's hide behind it. Just how we grew up, I guess, just phones and tablets, the internet generation. It could be a bad thing. It's probably a bad thing.
You get in front of more people, but, probably... The fact that, for example, I was in an account the other day and they told me that the only reason they signed up and were going to go with me is because they reached out to five other companies and not one of them showed up in person. They all emailed them back and forth with a quote, but no one showed up but me. And now I keep showing up and keep showing up. So they're very happy because they know that support. As I would always tell them, as much as I aggressively pursue their business, that's the way I am after I get the business. I'm not going to sell them and forget about them.
That's a great competitive
advantage. Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, Tony Orlando said what? What did he say, Chris? What was his famous knock?
Knock three times?
Yeah, well, we're going to ask.
That's scary that we knew that.
We're going to ask.
Matthew probably knew nothing about that. He has no idea what we're talking about.
We're going to ask
idea.
Ted Kowitz, is it acceptable to ask five times for the check? We'll be right back after a break from our sponsors.
Are you praying that your accountant gets you a tax refund this year? If you said yes, then your tax plan has already failed. Go to oxygenfinancial.net. to get our free no-obligation guide on 6 ways to save money on taxes right now. Make a smart money move today. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get your free guide today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, members FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services, is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here in the fantastic studios of Atlanta Business Radio X. You can always like our Facebook page, Shrimp Tank. Just check it out and like us. We have lots of great information that's going up there. And like I said earlier in the show, you can always hear a replay of the entire broadcast, including some of the comments from Ted in our first segment today on ShrimpTankPodcast.com. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director of now The Shore. Am I saying it right?
You sure are. I'm going to be using that one a lot. Sure. That's going to be
Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And our guest today, Matthew Stamper, we're going to talk to him in just a second, and Ted Kolwitz, who's the president of CopierNet. Now, Matthew, I read, and I actually wrote an article on this for the Wall Street Journal about this whole idea of a gap year, because some people would say, great idea, take a gap year, get to figure yourself out before you're working at Starbucks for the rest of your life. And there are others that would say, yeah, mom and dad aren't paying for you to backpack in Europe for a year. So what the heck is really a gap year? What is it? Because it's becoming popular.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for some students, it's take a year off, make some money, and either use that money to help pay for college or use that money to sustain them throughout college. For me, it was, a different scenario because, I had an idea that I wanted to pursue, and I ended up declining the offer to go to Washington, D.C. to pursue international business because I saw potential in this idea. And I thought that like maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, I'd look back and say, hey, why didn't I do that? So, I mean, it was a big decision to take a year off, see where I am, and then go from there. And I think the Entrepreneurship Center at KSU is my next step. And going into the school with the infrastructure I need, the resources, and finding that all at KSU, finding mentorship, I think it was the perfect situation for me.
And you started your business in high school,
right?
Correct?
I had been doing it.
Could you explain what your business is?
Sure. I mean, I had been doing it for about four or five years, but my business it's called iBuy. It's a mobile repair and resell business. So I bought, sold, and fixed phones throughout my community and my school, throughout high school. And it wasn't until, I guess, senior year that my business teacher, Dr. Michael Wayne, gave me the opportunity to open the business during school while earning credit hours. That gave rise to the Business Entrepreneurship Incubator at Peachtree Ridge High School that I helped initiate through my business to give other students at Peachtree Ridge the opportunity to do the same thing basically I was doing. And so going from there, I did a report on it was a school club about growing my business and finding a way to scale it. And I took that idea and ran with it over the last year, building the website, talking to teachers, students, parents, presenting the idea, marketing, trying to find funding, and all the resources I need to help scale my business. And I think KSU is my best next step.
That's so awesome. I think that's just a great testament of somebody, an entrepreneurial student, and you are, finish high school and say, okay, I could go to college. I am going to see if this idea gets legs. And then once it does, then you can come to a place like KSU. That's pretty
very,
awesome,
very
right?
Cool stuff. I think you're going to see more and more of that here in the state of Georgia. And in our second segment, folks, we always like to make it, by the way, thanks for joining us every Tuesday. I just wanted to say that because we're really enjoying every week picking up more listeners and more people that are giving comments on the website, more people that are subscribing for the podcast. It's really great stuff. More YouTube views. We appreciate it all because we know that we're changing entrepreneurship in the face of entrepreneurship in the state of Georgia. Now, we always like to get to our second segment here, which is the hot or not segment. This is one of those things where we're going to ask Ted some questions. And Matthew, feel free, if you've got one, you can fire away in here.
Sure.
So I want to open up with what I left you off with, the tease at the break, which is hot or not, Ted. Is it okay to ask for the check 5 times?
Why would you have to?
Well, depends on how bad you want it.
Well, first of all, you asked me like 9, and then I finally bought. Wasn't it 9 or 10 times? Or
you personally? No, the first time. You're easy to close. That was easy.
But aren't salespeople the easiest people
to close? I mean, that's
close?
What you're taught. I mean, going back to when I started the business, you're told to take, you know, 10 no's before you leave. Today, you'd be escorted out by a security guard after about
the fifth
time. Yeah, but you
don't, it's not that you ask
five
times,
but
I notice you're tenacious that you will follow up again and again, at least till you get an answer. A lot of salespeople just walk away, and they're like, well, they said no, so I'm done.
Well, there's probably 10 different ways to ask for the business. If you ask for the same way every time, then it becomes obnoxious. There's a fine line between being persistent and obnoxious. You got to know what that is.
I swear, Hanks, that he's got a photographic memory, because I would see him somewhere or I'd be getting a cup of coffee and he'd say, don't you have that Xerox there in the Alpharetta office or something like that? Was it not that, Laura? It was the Xerox or something like that. But you know, I have to say, Ted's done a fantastic job for us since we put it in, but it's but it was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So hot or not, bonus to employees.
You got to have that. You got to offer that, I should say, if you're going to keep a long-term employee. I just recently had a meeting with my service department and personnel, and I don't share, you know, every number I generate on my P&L with employees. They don't need to know that. But I did tell them that if we had a certain percentage growth from last year to this year, then come December or January of this year, they will share in the growth and the profit we experience. So, you know, if they're deciding, make decisions in the field that are money or revenue rate related, they'll think about it a little more so than just throwing a part in when maybe they could fix something instead of throwing a very expensive part into the machine. It depends upon the individuals you have too. Some people are not motivated by money, you know, bonus for what? A trip, barter dollars if you want to spend X amount of dollars on a barter company. That's another one. I threw that out at them a while ago, where I gave them everyone $5,000 worth of barter dollars to use it however they want because it was part of a barter company. And things like that. Just mixing it up a little bit.
I've got one. I'm not hot or not, I guess, a 15-hour minimum wage. What do you guys think about that?
Wow. That's an interesting question.
It is.
Where are you thinking about going to school again?
KSU.
Okay. All right. No, good. I just wanted to clarify.
I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it for the economy, if it would help it, if it would stifle it.
To me, you know, there's really, really no, what will happen is you'll see no change at all. And I'll tell you why, because all that will happen in your low dollar businesses, like fast food businesses, that Big Macs that cost $4 today will go to $6. So you can raise wages, but the prices at the floor on low margin businesses will go up just the same. So all you're doing is you're just increasing the prices across the board. This is most of my thoughts. What do you guys think?
Yeah, because those costs have to be passed on somewhere. And the idea that there's got to be a minimum, you know, sometimes has the effect of increasing prices all the way around, because a job that could be done, you know, at a lesser wage, all of a sudden you have a floor wage that is more broad. And so that you don't have the choices in pricing that you should have. So it tends to drive costs up.
My question is, if you go from $8 to an hour to 15, what are you going to do more to earn that increase?
No, I was just saying for
what justifies that increase? I like to pay for performance.
I guess, yeah, it could, yeah.
I like it, huh? How about hot or not? Do you hire family members?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have two of them employed right now.
So it's a good idea. No downsides to it?
Not everybody in the family, just the right ones. The ones that want to be there. Not just...
So at one point, did everybody approach you to say they wanted to be in the business, and some you had to say no?
No.
You just selectively chose the ones that were in.
That's correct.
What would you give somebody like myself? What advice would you give me if I'm a young entrepreneur starting out? What would you say to me?
Well, I'd say have an excellent, very strong work ethic. Start with that. That overcomes everything else. Knowledge, desire. I mean, desire comes along with that too. But if you can outwork your competitor, you will be successful. Mm-hmm. That's how I got started. I started in a business I knew nothing about, in a environment where there were experienced people selling, had been selling for 3 or 4 years, and I outsold every single one of them because I was generally the first one there in the morning and last one at night and worked weekends.
All right, let's do one more hot or not, Chris.
All right, hot or not, cold calls via telephone.
It depends upon the individual. If you've got a hard enough shell to make cold calls, I'd recommend it because I've been doing it for so long. But I still make phone calls too if I want to get to more people, obviously, because I can make about, 10, 12 phone calls in an hour, whereas I could only probably make, 3 or 4 cold calls.
So do you have a special trick that you use to get past the gatekeeper?
Special trick. Trying to strike a relationship up with them within the first 2 minutes. We walk in the door, be professional, courteous. Once again, don't cross that line from being obnoxious or being professional to obnoxious. And gather as much information as you can in that initial visit. Then you can go back and follow up with another call because you've got that in your hand. The worst mistake you can make is go and make a cold call and get nothing out of it, no information. Because then when you go back to that account again, it's another cold call. You wasted your time.
Chris, many, many years ago when I started in my sales career and I was thinking about things like Ted's talking about, getting past the gatekeeper, I lived in Boston. And I went to a local fortune cookie vendor and I said, could you make custom fortune cookies and just put this note inside? You should meet with Ted. Now, Ted, both you and I could use that because we're both Ted's. And I would put them in a box and I would mail them to business owners and other people like that. And then I would call them up and I would have my name on and I'd say, hey, I'm calling Ted Jenkins, blah, blah, blah. And I would call and then I'd say, did you get the fortune cookie? And there are little things that I did like that just got me to get past the conversation of, hey, I'll speak to you. Right?
That's pretty creative.
But what Ted's talking about is a lot of people today and entrepreneurs, they want to be successful, but they don't want to do hustle one-on-one.
Right.
And the truth is when you don't have any deals, activity trumps everything in every business. If you have enough activity, eventually you're going to make sales, right?
That's true. And if you want to earn the person's business, you want to keep, and you say you're going to keep calling back on them, you've got to come back with something different every time. If you keep coming back with the same deal as you did last time, well, nothing's changed. They're not going to listen to you. We got to come up with something different, unique. Bag of cookies, like we bring to your organization. Laura knows those very well.
No question about it.
I mean, referrals are huge for my business.
They are.
I know that. Just having a good service to the customer is crucial for me because if I don't deliver that, word gets around that I can't deliver and that would be a blow to my business. So it's very important for that.
Hey, when we come back on the Shrimp Tank, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to have the lightning round. And I'm going to love playing this with our guest, Ted Kolwitz, the president of CopierNet, because he's going to have to plead the fifth. Maybe. We'll see what kind of questions we ask him. We'll be right back with more of the Shrimp Tank.
Entrepreneur Radio spotlights and celebrates artists of all kinds, making their way in the world of art and business. Entrepreneur Radio is powered by Atlanta Business Radio and hosted by Alex Gossett Shiflett. If you would like to be a guest on Entrepreneur Radio, or if you are interested in being a sponsor, please call 843-858-2277.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the founder and executive director of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship at KSU. Unbelievable things happening here in the state of Georgia. You know what our future is in Georgia? It's entrepreneurship. The people that will take the risk, create the jobs, and create the future growth right here in the city of Atlanta and across the state of Georgia. We come to you every week from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on Atlanta Business Radio X, the fine studios right here in Sandy Spring. We're sitting here with our guest, Ted Kolwitz, who's the president of CopierNet. And if you didn't catch segment two, you really need to go to our website, shrimptankpodcast.com, and catch a replay of some of the answers in here because we've talked to Ted a little bit about sales because I think he's one of the best that I've ever met. And it's one of the roles that you have to play when you're an entrepreneur. You're going to have to figure out how to bring revenue in the door. It isn't just going to happen magically. So we're going to get to our lightning round here. We're going to go through 5 or 6 final questions for Ted today. He gets one chance to plead the fifth. Matthew, feel free if you come up with something here. And don't be afraid to ask something difficult.
All right.
I can't remember which one of the kids that came in from KSU has something difficult, but he did. Yeah. It was pretty good. So let's start with the lightning round question one, which is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
to marry an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You should ask my wife that. I guess she could say yes to that. I mean, she married one. Is that what you mean by marrying?
Yeah, I mean, is it, you know, if someone's sitting there and they're saying, I'm going to get married, and the person they're getting married to is what you're saying, the entrepreneur that's at it 24/7, the cell phone's always ringing, the TV's on, but they're still thinking about the next deal they're going to close. Is that the kind of person that you is good to marry?
Depends upon what type of life you get due to that. I mean, is the end result that you're, you know, still low income family, renting a space downtown Atlanta, or are you living in Roswell and enjoying life and doing all the things you want to do because it affords them that opportunity to do that, and the kids go to good schools? So I think the end result is the rewards worth the gain or the risk.
So what have you been most embarrassed by?
This is the non-alcoholic part of your life, yes?
Most embarrassed by.
Yeah. So like in your business career, like what has been really embarrassing?
I can't think of anything I'm embarrassed by.
I'm going to ask him something similar.
That haven't sold everybody in Atlanta?
He's saying all the time that you have sold copiers, you never walked into an office and the woohoo, something was happening that you just have not laid eyes on?
Yeah, well, I guess the only thing I think of that comes to mind is that I came back to get a decision out of from a customer, and I was all excited because I had a great deal to offer, and found out he died.
Oh.
And they said, well, he passed away last week. And I said, well, you know, before he left, you know, he did today, he was going to buy that machine. And
so you did not let the death. That's not true. So you did not let the death interfere with the close.
That's not true. I didn't say that.
There's a refund policy right here on page 4. Never had no drug dealers, anybody like that. No warehouses, no place like that.
I've had guns pulled on me when I went to go collect machines for the money they owed me. They put a gun in my ribs and told me to get out of the building because they weren't going to pay for it.
Said COVID's repo man.
I had to get in my early career at Lanier. If you didn't get the thing paid for, you got a charge back, so you lost all your commission. So hell yeah, I had to go get that money.
All right, Matthew, you got one there.
Yeah,
that made my day.
It's kind of weird. Throughout the time of your business, what would you say, I guess, your worst failure was, and how did you go about, I guess, recovering, finding the emotional support to keep going? Because I know, like, some entrepreneurs, they just kind of have like a purgatory to where they quite don't know what they're doing, but next day they get back up and they just keep doing it.
The only thing I can think of, Matthew, is that I could have done things to grow the business more. Maybe from an acquisition standpoint, that I've not bought any other business other than the one that I own right now. And you either can grow your business by selling more or acquiring more. And I've focused so much on selling, I have not done any acquisitions.
Okay.
So you seem to have this really thick skin going in, making sales calls and that kind of thing. What makes you uncomfortable?
What makes me uncomfortable? Not much. Gosh, I don't know.
It's not Southside Steve, is it?
No, no, no. Yeah, not at all. Uncomfortable?
Is there a part of your business that you are really uncomfortable with?
No, nothing have any regrets about selling is maybe selling to a customer that you know deep down in your heart they're probably not going to be able to afford that machine. You know, not initially, but down the road, because you think the business is going to fail.
Yeah.
Once again, in my business, you know, we lease equipment. It's usually through a third party leasing. So if they go out of business, generally it's the leasing company that takes the, you know, recourse or the hit on it. But, you know, I provide a lot of service during that time. And I know that I've I lost quite a bit of money over the years from companies that I deep down in my heart knew they weren't not going to make it. And they have left me kind of high and dry on paying their bills.
Well, this is great stuff today, Ted. You know, for those that are listening to us on Atlanta Business Radio X right here on the Shrimp Tank, sitting here with Ted Kollwitz, president of CopierNet, how can folks who need a copier, want to learn if they should replace their copier or they're moving into a new space, how can they get in touch with you?
Best way to reach me is ted@copiernet.com, and that's copier with a K, K-O-P-I-E-R-N-E-T.com, or call me morning, noon, or night at 770-401-9528.
And Matthew, those that are in need of getting their phone repaired or yes. want to learn more about what you do, how can they get in touch with your company?
Sure. They can go to ibuyhq.com. And if you are in Gwinnett County, we have a couple students active right now to service your mobile device needs. But if you need a repair and you're in the Atlanta metro area, I'd be happy to come to you to repair your phone for a lower cost than competitors. My number is 404-862-6143. And my email is Matthew, that's Matthew with two T's, Stamper, S-T-A-M-P-E-R, at ibuyhq.com.
Well, thanks to both of you for coming on the show today.
Thanks,
Chris, for
co-hosting
me along the way in here. You stay tuned for our post-show wrap-up right here on the Shrimp Tank. We'll be asking Ted three questions on here. You should definitely check it out on shrimptankpodcast.com. Next week, what happens when somebody needs to take over your computer and you have no idea what's going on? We'll have on Judd Igler from Savant, who's one of the owners. Some great stuff that you'll hear next week. Thanks, as always, listen to The Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky